our readings this morning are from the Gospel of John, a passage in John 13 and a passage in John 15 regarding love. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once, immediately. Little children, I am with you only a little bit longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you," and where it says Jews here, it's talking basically about the Judean leadership, the Jerusalem leadership then current. So I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And then John 15, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Today is the sixth Sunday of Easter. Easter is not just one day event, but it is a 50-day season spanning from Easter Sunday through Pentecost Sunday. And this is a season for us to revisit the foundation of the faith. And today we will spend time together to think about what it means for us to be the disciples of Christ through today's gospel lesson. Would you join me in a prayer? Lord, in this season of Easter, we want to know better who you are and also who we are and what you want us to be and do. Open our hearts and ears to receive your word and tune our hearts to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Okay, my sermon is done. Now you may go home. The short message is a new covenant, commandment. Sorry, sometimes I make a mistake. That Jesus gave to his disciples during the Last Supper. And today's passage is a part of a collection of the passage known as Farewell Discourse, because Jesus is preparing his disciples for a life after he is gone. Before having the Passover meal, known as the Last Supper, Jesus washed each disciple's feet as an example of how to serve one another. And he gave them this new commandment: love one another in a solemn and calm manner. Before Jesus said this, I want you to pay attention to verse 31. He says, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, bum, bum, bum. As you know, Judas was one of the 12 disciples, and he was with other disciples over the Last Supper. But now he went out to sell Jesus to the Roman soldiers. The short passage gives us an insight that this farewell discourse was designed only to be told to the inner group of Jesus, who would truly listen to him and follow him accordingly. Jesus carefully and tenderly spoke to his disciples about the future by calling them little children, like a loving father concerned about his vulnerable and disoriented children. Jesus did not want them to panic, but tried to explain things in a way that they could understand, and also they could prepare themselves for the day that Jesus died for us. And Jesus said to them he would lead them sooner, and he gave them this new commandment: love one another. But this is not the only time he mentioned this commandment. At Damaris, he read another scripture reading from chapter 15. Jesus mentioned the same commandment again to his disciples: love one another. Some of you might say, is this the new commandment? It sounds familiar. Yes, it is. It sounds very similar to the old commandment known as the greatest commandment to the Jewish community that is written in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbors as yourself. All of the disciples already knew this commandment, and they committed their lives to it. Why did Jesus tell this seemingly new but old commandment to his disciples? I think there are three reasons for that. Firstly, to fulfill the law. In giving the new commandment, Jesus not only emphasized that all the law and the prophets hang on the commandment to love God and to love one's neighbors, but also reinforces its fundamental principle of love as the essence of fulfilling God's law. That's why he repeated it two times in his last talking, so that his disciples can engrave his words in their hearts, so that they can live it out with words. Secondly, he gave this new commandment to his disciples to reflect God's nature, which is love. Reverend Dr. Courtney E. Allen comments that the commandment to love one another was not new until the qualifying phrase, as I have loved you. Dr. Allen said, adding this phrase not only gives a new meaning to the old commandment, but also makes a huge difference from the old commandment. By adding, as I have loved you, this new commandment gives more specific instruction on how to love one another. During Lent, through the Gospel of Luke, we learned how Jesus ministered to his people. He became a friend of sinners, the marginalized, the sick, the hungry, the outcast that no one wanted to be with. And Jesus was there for them when they were lonely, hungry, sick, in danger. And Jesus befriended them and met their needs, lifted them up with his love and caring hearts. earlier in the night, Jesus washed his disciples' dirty and dusty feet because he loved them. And after this supper, Jesus gave himself up for us. He died on a cross because Jesus loved us. Not only just us, but all of us, all human beings. In his earthly ministry, Jesus embodied God's love, showing compassion, mercy, and forgiveness to all people, and demonstrated to people that God is love, as he showed us through his actions and his words. By commanding us to love one another as he loved us, Jesus calls us to reflect God's nature, which is love, in our relationships with others. As Jesus loved us, we should love one another. Lastly, Jesus gave the new commandment to give us a mark of discipleship. At verse 35, Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one another." Last week, Reverend Gafford asked us, without identification, without proof of a birth certificate, how can we prove that so-and-so is our church member or is our family member? How can we prove that someone belongs to us? Anyone? Where is it? Donnie, you were there yesterday, last week. It's okay. By witnessing, we witness someone. We can say that, yeah, she or he, he's our church member. They are our family member. In the same manner, we can witness our Jesus Christ by sharing the story and teachings that Jesus has taught us and the love that Jesus shared with us so that people know who Jesus is. And now, I want you to consider how we can make the world know Christ through our love. How should we love one another? Maybe you have a different definition of love, because love is abstract word. Sometimes it can be misinterpreted. If we impose our love on somebody in our own way, it can hurt someone. If our love hurts somebody, that is not love. Do you agree? So those who receive our love should feel loved by us and by our love, and vice versa. I think that's why Jesus added the sentence, "Love one another as I have loved you," so that we don't miss the point how to love one another. On Friday, May 3rd, the prolonged 2020 General Conference has successfully concluded. Our delegates from all around the world gathered together to make important decisions for our dynamic nation. On May 2, 2024, by a vote of 692-51, our denomination repealed our long-standing ban on LGBTQ plus people's ordination and their marriage since 1972, the first General Conference of the United Methodist Church. In addition, they decided to change the languages and the policies that were against LGBTQ plus brothers and sisters in our book of discipline. Personally, I am proud of our church for making a difficult decision for the future of our church and our community. Our United Methodist Church now officially became the church where all people, including our LGBTQ plus brothers and sisters who have not been welcomed by our church policy and rules. And now they are welcomed and accepted with open hearts, open minds, and with God's love. It is a historical moment that we should celebrate. Yet, as a pastor, I understand that the decision made by the General Conference regarding LGBTQ plus inclusion may have stirred up various emotions and opinions among the United Methodist. Some of you may feel uncertain or uncomfortable with the decision. I want you to know that your feelings are valid, your concerns are heard, and I pray for you. As we navigate through this period of adjustment, let us remember the new commandment that our Lord gave to us. Love one another as I have loved you. Even amidst differences of opinions. And I encourage you, all of us, to approach each other with compassion, understanding, and a willingness to listen and embrace, and also to create a space, safe space, where everybody feels valued and respected. And let's continue to support each other through prayer, dialogue, and acts of kindness, knowing that we are all beloved children of God, seeking to live out the teachings of Christ. Let us pray. Actually, before I conclude my sermon, let me share the definition of love by Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the new commandment that you have taught to us. You know that we are not perfect, but we are broken. So that we need your grace all the time. We thank you for all the delegates who gathered together in Charlotte for the General Conference to make a decision for our church. We thank you that for the decision that they made for our church so that we can move one more step forward to be more inclusive of all the community, all the people that you created. But meanwhile, we also recognize that among us, some feel uncertain, uncomfortable. And there are some lament that, as we know, some of our brothers and sisters left our denomination. In this transition time and adjustment time, Lord, continue to pour out your spirit on us and heal our broken hearts. Fill our hearts with your love so that even though we think differently, we can still love one another with compassion, act of kindness and gentleness, so that the world know we are Christians by our love. We pray this in your name. Amen.